people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles, it says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to stall way the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go down Fares, another tier, and in about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line, there's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard. Too Many People could also be a motto for its casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with Freeways, with People, or his native L.A. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
That's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment, health happens in schools, at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. I-5, the I-10.
Good evening and welcome to another fine episode of Los Angeles Nista. I'm your host, Edward Solis, and today is Monday, May 6, 2013. My in-studio guest
to highlight the Whittier episode are the owners of a new recording studio called Lighted Path, George and Jake Fernandez. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Let's introduce the guests you brought here directly across from you.
This is Niles Nicholson.
Niles Nicholson.
Hello. And Jorge Lucero.
Awesome. And they are a part of the studio or they are part of your band?
They're a part of Echoes, which is the band.
We'll get into a little later.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
This is really cool. Things come full circle because I've been a friend of the family for a long time.
Yes.
Yep.
And I went down this path last year about public transportation advocacy, and here's the show. It's exciting, and I feel like being a born and raised Angeleno, it's my duty to tell people about every city in Los Angeles County. So tonight's the Whittier episode, and we do multiple episodes, but you know, we could do a Whittier one or a La Habra one or a West Covina or a Hollywood one over and over because everyone has a different perspective and a different story of it. Exactly. So it's really cool. So let me talk to Jake really quick here.
Yes.
Give me the backstory of your studio. How did the idea come up and when did it actually open?
It all started in the garage originally with my dad and his bands over the years. And then eventually I got into the recording side of things. And as we got more and more equipment, it was like, where are we going to put it when, you know, we're moving constantly and all this. So we finally got a unit and started investing in newer equipment. And we're here now where we can offer the next person, you know, full recording, video production, photography, mixing, mastering, you know, so kind of catering to the community musician, you know.
Very cool. So the location you're at now, well, let's back up. I mean, so you were just like collecting gear and building like an arsenal.
Yeah, well, I've been with bands for quite some time now. And everywhere I moved, I would build a little studio, in-home studio.
Sure.
And I kept doing that. And then finally, about 2 years ago, was when we got the opportunity to get a unit.
Right.
And we set up the studio and upgraded the equipment and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Jake, by this time, was doing a lot of the engineering. And so we set it up to where we could offer multi-track recording to individuals who were interested in recording their music.
Right, right. And as far as the location, where are you guys now?
We're off of Slauson, in between Sorensen and Santa Fe Springs. It's 12403 Slauson Avenue and Unit G.
Okay, great, great. And do you guys have a website?
Yes.
Yes, it's lightedpathstudios.com.
Very cool, very cool. We're going to take a break. We're going to get into a little break, take a breather. We're going to come back and talk more about the historicals of Whittier and the guys in the studio tonight and all the music they're making. Take it away.
This is Ignacio Salcido from La Mascota Bakery in Boyle Heights. You're listening to LA Nista and SkidRowStudios.com.
This episode of Los Angeles Nista is brought to you by La Mascota Bakery, a family-owned business serving the community since 1952. Tamales and sweetbread, made the old-fashioned way daily. Welcome back to Los Angeles Nista. Your host, Edward Solis, my in-studio guests, George and Jake Fernandez from Light of Path Studios, the Whittier episode, and George from Echoes.
Yes.
That's your band we just heard. We'll get into that. You brought your bandmates. We'll talk about the band. And which is really cool about featuring a studio on a radio show is that usually like when someone comes in that owns a restaurant or anything else, you know, we talk about the food, but mm-hmm. our listeners can't hear it or taste it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you bring the product of your studio, which is the music, we just played it. So yes. This music we heard just came out of your studio.
Yes.
Okay. Now tell us about the two tracks we heard. What were the names of it?
The first track was Dark Cell.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was Entre Tinieblas.
Very cool. Nicholas, get on the mic, man.
What's up, man?
You're 27. You're 27 years old, and that reminded you of Pink Floyd, huh?
Yeah, man. I love Pink Floyd. I love rock, man. I love rock and roll, you know?
Right. As far as you guys recording, how many songs did you record for the record? How many songs are on the record?
There are 5 songs on the CD that we recorded.
Right.
And we're still in the process of writing some more tunes.
Cool.
And these two songs were songs that were recorded first. And basically we have the singer who is Daniel Carrington.
Who's not here tonight.
He's not here tonight.
But we just heard him sing.
Yeah. And awesome. He sings both in English and Spanish.
That's very admirable.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. He sounds a little French sometimes. But
he has an accent.
Yeah. basically, it's a British style of rock music.
Sure.
With both English and Spanish lyrics.
Very cool.
And Jorge Lucero is the guitar player who had a large part in putting the whole project together with both myself and Niles.
That's great. I want to talk about the actual recording process and what you guys offer. Again, you know, highlighting a studio on the air and having the music to play is the best thing because people could hear the product right away, like mm-hmm. we just heard. I've been in the facility. You guys have a nice drum room or what can be a drum room, that big garage area. Yes. Did you guys set the drums up there or in the isolation booth?
We usually use the large room because of the acoustics, because of the high ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge, I mean, you walk in there and clap. Like when I walked in there for the first time, it was just so live and that natural reverb. Mm-hmm. And you get that like John Bonham kind of natural reverb happening.
I took a lot of pains in trying to set up the acoustics
where
the room was treated just enough to give it a little bit of the live sound with also capturing some of the studio, sound in it.
Sure. I mean, every studio and live room in the studio has a sweet spot. Like, you know exactly where to put the drums. So for you guys, recording the drums for this, was it you picked a spot and stuck with it, or did you like kind of move around?
Basically, we had a spot where we did all the drums, drum recordings on there, and it really didn't move around much because it sounded good.
Sure.
So,
and then obviously you just had some really good mics on it.
Yeah.
What kind of mics did you use for that?
What kind of mics?
We used a few 57s and then just like a Shure drum kit mic set, and it's pretty much about it. We've had a few overheads, you know, so we had a lot of room for that, and the rest, you know, like the guitars and the bass and everything was recorded through the isolation booth.
So the guitar tracks and the bass tracks, you just put an amp in the ISO booth
mm-hmm.
and just put a mic up against the cab
mm-hmm.
and track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And as far as all this goes, it was all digital.
Yeah.
Right. What kind of software do you use?
Pro Tools.
Awesome. So what version is Pro Tools on now? 12?
It's 10 on about, or 11.
Yeah, they're about at 11, I think, right now.
Right. And what do you guys offer?
We have Pro Tools 8.
Nice.
So, you know, there's a few upgrades that need to take place, but for the most part, I like the simplicity of Pro Tools 8 and get a great sound out of there. So
right now, when you guys mixed it, Or let's talk vocals.
Okay.
Now, was that something that you guys experimented and did like in a control room as well, or just all in the ISO booth?
All in the booth, but a lot of experimentation with the effects and the reverb and delay.
Very nice.
Like that.
I like the diffuser you guys got in the control room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, did you make that?
I built that.
You built that?
Yeah.
That thing's like, it's beyond a diffuser. It's like a piece of art. Yeah. I want to, you know what? I mean, for me, it's like, I want a picture of that, you know, seriously. So when you go back tonight, you can send a picture.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to promote the show with that diffuser.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, let me ask you that. I mean, about that. That's like really commendable how much patience you have to make that thing.
I had looked around and the ones like that.
Sure.
How much they run? Extremely expensive.
Like and, ballpark.
Ah, geez.
Between what and what?
You remember how much they were running?
I think for like a 2 feet by 2 feet piece. They go for anywhere from like 400 to 800.
Just for a 2x2.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And this one's like.
So you could, I mean, you have a big space. You could easily spend $5,000.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just a better option to build.
And I did some research on diffusers and found some information. And I said, I can make that.
Sure.
And so I went and got the materials and stuff like that and started the process.
Things heavy.
It was,
too.
Yeah, it's heavy.
It looks like a house. Or it's just like a good foundation for a house.
Yeah. Looks like downtown LA.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Sideways.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. So how long did it take you to make that?
It took me a couple of weeks.
Like some serious time.
Yeah.
To like commit to it.
I had to measure out the lengths of the boards and then cut them to the measurements.
Right.
And then I had to get the base of the diffuser, and then I went little by little putting the whole thing together.
So 2 weeks.
Yeah, about 2 weeks.
For that one.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And the whole idea behind it is it's, you know, breaking up the any reflections, you know, that doesn't just slap back all at you at once.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm.
Sure. So. Have you ever thought about maybe making those and selling them yourself? Seems like it could be a boutique business.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
Those are great. Now, as far as the band Echoes, which is your band,
yes.
George, we just heard that, and let's talk about the band. So, do you guys have any shows coming up? Anything happening?
Not
website
at the moment, but we have Jorge.
Yeah, we have a website, which is the www.echoesrock.com,
right.
And Facebook, facebook.com/echoesla.
Right. Jorge, you play guitar, right?
Yeah.
In the band. What kind of gear do you use and what kind of guitar and amplifiers?
Twin Reverb amp, Fender.
Oh, Twin Reverb?
Mm-hmm. I have also, you know, pedal board and Gibson Les Paul and a Fender Stratocaster.
And you've been playing guitar for how long?
I don't know. Probably 30 years.
3 years?
25, maybe. I'm the youngest one. Sorry, man. Hey,
well, I know where this is going.
You know where I'm going. Huh?
That's a good one.
We cut him. Cut him.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So was that the first time you ever recorded?
Yeah, yes.
First made a time. Record, yeah.
Yeah, first time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how long did it take you guys to do the 5 tracks?
What, about a week and a half, maybe a little more?
I mean, there was a few sessions. Like, we would get together, I think, once a week for a couple of weeks just to do the drum tracking. And then from, you know, the drum tracking, then we moved on to the bass, guitar, vocals we did last.
See, the owner of the studio was very... very easy to work with and
flexible hours.
the sessions were able to.
You guys had carte blanche.
Yeah.
Anything, right?
Yeah, we really.
That's
right.
That's great. That's great. Now, as far as your mixing goes, I mean, now Jake engineered it, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So, I mean, when you actually sit back, I mean, we'll get into your music in a moment.
Yeah.
But I know you well, and I know you come from a lot of different genres, and that's what makes your style of hip-hop so unique and different. And I think that when you mix a record, you know, you use all your influences and all the records you've heard to like really dial it in. So yeah. I was, you know, I wanted to ask you, I mean, how do you approach this coming from someone who makes hip hop, but comes from a well-rounded background of influences?
With this one,
did you reference any records?
I mean, there's definitely a Pink Floyd influence in their style already. So I definitely took that into consideration when going into mixing, and just the way we wanted to capture it, you know, I could tell we were going for a more natural kind of raw approach. Nothing overproduced, nothing over digital. Everything was pretty much as analog as it can get, except for the interface that recorded everything, you know.
Sure. So, but all the sounds are natural. There's not a lot of outboard gear.
Yeah.
Making fake noises.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's a pretty much a raw record.
Yeah. So that was the approach to recording. And then, you know, the band themselves had input in the mixing sessions as well as to what kind of sound they wanted to go for each different song, because each song has a different kind of vibe to it. So
did you guys actually, you know, do the old fashioned mix and then burn a copy and take it in the car?
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys?
That's
the best way to mix a record.
Yeah.
I mean, because when you put all your levels flat in the car, you hear everything.
Right.
Everything has to be flat, and you hear those great records and you hear yours like, hey, I'm pretty close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So as far as Jake goes, now let's talk about your music.
Okay.
All right. As a solo artist, you call yourself Drone.
Yeah.
And are you now the groups you're involved with are?
Systematic Tragedy was the group I started with.
SMT, right?
Yep. And since then, I've worked with groups such as Prevalence, The Lifted Gifted, Relapse. These are all local names from, you know, just from the circle of doing shows over the years that I've met, and these are the people I've put projects out with, and but now I'm like transitioning to the next phase, which is putting out my first solo project. So
sure. Now I know you produce tracks,
mm-hmm.
and what are some of your influences musically? Like where do you draw from? And for one, I know you're an Oingo Boingo fan.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Danny Elfman
oh, yeah. is my hero.
I love one.
Danny Elfman's a genius, so I don't know. Ever since, you know, a kid watching Beetlejuice and things like that, you know, it started there. So.
It started at Beetlejuice, huh? When he shrunk the head?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I love that. But that was like a huge score.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's like his landmark score, I think, don't you? I mean, it was like Tim. Oh no, well Pee Wee Herman.
No, he had something that went way back with his brother Richard, the Forbidden Zone.
Yeah, the Forbidden Zone.
Right.
And what was his name? The guy LaPlane.
Tattoo.
Oh yeah.
That's he was involved in that too. So
interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So now in. Being in a band and making tracks for hip-hop artists is a whole different ballgame. I mean, are you constantly just creating a catalog of instrumentals to use?
Yeah.
How does that go?
Just whenever I feel creative, I gotta, you know, dedicate that time to...
Sounds like you gotta really commit to it.
Yeah, it's a full-time job, you know, just... Because you can't rush creativity, so I just try to... stay creative as much as possible. If I'm not feeling it, I'm not feeling it, you know.
Sure.
I wouldn't like try to force something out, but for the most part, I just, you know, get in the studio by myself, turn on all my gear, and, you know, start anywhere from laying down a drum track or I start with a, you know, like a synth track or a bass track. It doesn't, whatever comes to me first.
As far as a foundation for hip-hop tracks, are you, like, always starting with drums and then bass lines? Or is it kind of all over the place?
It depends.
Or do you hear, like, a killer melody somewhere and then facilitate, like, put the drums under that?
I like to start with a melody just because I like a lot of melodic tracks. And so I'll hear a melody and then I'll automatically know where to put the drums, you know, once the melody is in, you know, in a loop or you know, 4 to 8 bar loop. The drums kind of come naturally to me because I've been playing drums since I was 2.
So. Right, right.
You remember that.
I remember you.
drums in a diaper, you know.
Now, I've seen you perform shows at, you know, Orange County House of Blues, Key Club. What do you have coming up? You have anything else coming up soon?
Shows, I don't have anything lined up right now, but I just did a few shows in Riverside with the Lifted Gifted, and now I'm just kind of going to be locked in the studio all summer.
That's the plan?
My solo project, yeah.
Very cool. So, let's take a break. Let's listen to some of your stuff. Is this going to be Drone or SMT? What is it?
I'll play a
few
nice
tracks.
Little mix of things.
All right, and when we come back, you'll tell everyone what they listen to.
Okay.
All right? So we're going to go to a commercial first, I believe. Yep. All right, and we'll come back with some music.
All right.
Hi, this is Eddie Solis. You're listening to Los Angeles Anista on SkidRowStudios.com.
What I can see, and will you promise me truth and honesty? Do I really wanna ride with you? Walk on the other side with you? Do the things that you want me to, and while my life is through, will I be haunting you? I'm a wreck, I know I can't help it. No respect for Drone if I felt it. Not once to make me get selfish. One of those many things I need help with. Do you really wanna cross that line? Do you really wanna take what's mine? Do you wanna see my pistol shine and hit click, click, boom like it's Columbine? I don't think you do. Never ask me if I'm afraid of you. You don't want me to get crazy too. So caught up in you like it's 82. Do you really understand me? Doubt it. Love, true wisdom, and family, doubt it. If you got something on your mind, then shout it. Faith, hope, love, I'm nothing without it.
Wow.
panic in the eyes of everybody who doesn't understand it. They from another planet when it comes to their talent. Knocking you off your feet, throwing your equilibrium off balance. Time to silence the mainstream. You dirty, I stay clean. I'm a nightmare to all you suckers who daydream. Better run away if you're scared of the sound of my voice making noise. Yo, I got no choice with the murder microphones and all the clones. I'm all alone in the darkness, I am drone.
Who is drone dog?
Never constricted by beats, my feet move where the Lord choose, and I'm made new by his blood transfused. Never confused by enemy lies that cover my eyes from seeing the prize. One day I'ma die, but don't nobody cry, cause I live life one day at a time, as if it wasn't mine, a gift. So now I rhyme, equipped to let him shine. I trip, I wasn't fine, but broken, hopeless, every day losing focus. I noticed my flow was consistently dark lotus. I'm a poet, called to speak the truth, but didn't know it. I was seeking satisfaction from music, talent, and showbiz. And though it is my purpose, huh. I know I don't deserve this, what? So I remain in service, cause I'm purchased though I'm worthless, yeah. Tomorrow ain't guaranteed, right. Today we got what we need, ain't distant, but my mission ain't consistent, the drinks and weed. Never. Listen, indeed, I've been freed, hear me when I say, nothing can stop me, I'm looking forward to my dying day. Feeling that weak rap, kick back, relax, it won't last because you're raw trash. Here I come and I reckon I'm swinging on them like pendulums. Lyrically, I'm ahead of them, beats I drop dead on them and flatline every competitor. More wordplay than she fed it us, nobody can compare to us. Dark spirits with thoughts so horrific. Since a child, I repented for the wild days ahead. You probably laughed when you found out I rap, until you heard a track and realized that you whack. Simple as that, you better go back to where you came from. You should've never even entered the game, son. A lot's changed, you acting like you don't know my name. Like I'm supposed to just stop doing my thing. Nah, I keep moving despite what you're doing. I'm in it to improve it for the love of music. Hip-hop is dead, yes we know. So are we, D-R-O-N-E, and Mythical.
L-O-N-E-S-Drone.com.
Taking it back to the darkness. This morning is mad, it's matching, about to spark this. Body white like a carcass. I ain't from the land of the heartless. Y'all don't want this, but I really don't need your stamp of approval. I'm just a passionate dude who knows the true answer like Google. I ain't thuggish, but I'm ruggish and raw to the bone, bone. Time to spit on my own, yeah, it's a drone song. Now you can run and tell your friends that I spit sick and I spit quick. But it really don't matter if I'm chattering lies for a quick fix. A props that you can name drop like the cops. Though I rock some spots, I'm still far from the top until I pop, 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 pop. You better believe on judgment day. The Lord's gonna have something to say about how you lived your life, risque in a sick way for quick pay. Don't dismay, I ain't the one who said it. Just trying to be poetic and authentic. I get it, the mic, I shred it. Yeah, rip it in half. It ain't the demons who laugh, cause they be trembling, remembering they ain't gonna laugh. Life moves fast, so I gotta be surrendering. Be my satisfaction, and it ain't nobody better than. So what am I doing? What am I saying? I'm saying one day your body gon' rot and start decaying. Cause bullets they spraying, this world don't care where you stay. And this ain't a game that we playing. I say we better start praying. Everybody look at me funny, running their mouth. They can try, but they will never succeed in taking me out. People hating on us all of a sudden, what's it about? D-R-O-N-E straight from the gutters of the underground. I represent those disrespected, neglected, individuals rejected. That's why I always stay disconnected from everything that this dying world has accepted. Rappers hate us cause we look and sound different. Standing out in the crowds and found instant. When they freestyling, nobody cares. And they hate that our fans is much louder than theirs. I didn't mean to go there, but yo, somebody had to murder the mic every night, yo, I'll be glad to. Stabbing you with words, still flying with the birds. I'm about to get absurd, cause the tragedies occurred.
When
there was a war fight, everybody better run from the war zone. Praying to be the chosen one for a board home.
That's why I stay on my grind till the day I'm
check
gone.
It. Straight fire. Fire burning, all is fire, hands turning, people dying, children crying, rewind, and plotting to bring out the killer inside me, hide behind the rhyme,
rewind.
I'm soaring in the sky,
we fly.
So high, I wonder will I ever be happy with this life,
that was my mind,
before I turned away from devilish thoughts inside of my brain, who's feeling my pain, we're one in the same, chosen to rise to fame, what is my name,
D-R-O-N-E,
like Edgar Allan's poetry, my lyrics all methodically shot at you, so you know it's me, you hear the sound of battle, acoustic shadows bumping supersonic thunder, leaving your city teamless like Seattle.
Okay.
See, we know it's war and what we fighting for.
Fighting for.
Never hiding from the path he's lighting for. Reaching every one of you who know the word is true and pure. Armed with my sword, anything I can endure. If your music is trash, I'll take you out like a chore. It's lyrical, it's spiritual, it's physical, it's war.
When there with the war's fire, everybody better run from the war zone. Praying to be the chosen one for a board home.
That's why I say.
till the day I'm gone. Straight fire.
Drone.com.
DRONE.com through with a symphony just to record my 16. Produce my first record at 16, and I've been clean on the mic since 17. The flow's mean, but as a kid, it sucked to be the outcast. So as time passed, I embraced it while the shit lasted. Now all these evil bastards won't let me give up on the rapping. I'm done napping, and now they asking, where is Grown? I don't know, but I'm looking forward to that solo, for sure, yo. I seen them rocking with the LG, somewhere in the IE, San Bernardino to Rip County. And they already know they can't nobody bust like me. When I pick up speed, I get greedy. I start stealing the show, I'm a schizo, for sure. The D-Y'all wrote the N-E-B, spitting 1080 HDTV. So clearly you all don't see me on the rise again, and I'm freely living it up and making moves, it's just me. I've been known to get a crowd hype when I be dropping and sound like this right now, right? A lot of rappers try to copy but access denied when they try to download the soundbite. And if you still don't know who it is, I don't know what to tell you, kid. Ask somebody and they'll say ain't nobody touching this. Vanities. Oh, how all is vanity and leads me to insanity. Wicked is all humanity. I'm the man you never see, chasing what's ahead of me. To those that think they got it on lock, I'm here to set it free. Either let it be or let it pop. I put my voice on a track and never let it stop. Then I let it drop on you all and put your jaw on the pavement. With nothing but lyrical truth to free you all from enslavement. But I will never be satisfied with what it sees, nor the ear with what it hears. So me with all that I can be, it's all grasping for the wind again and again, and never it ends until we ascend. I gotta defend forever, commend it. Friends who comprehend. Wisdom brings the grief of realizing life is incomplete without the one who reads it. Just a constant cycle we repeat. That which you were doing has already been done. I tell you this, there is nothing new under the sun, and that's one. It's goodbye to regular, farewell to secular. No more competitors, so far ahead of them. Killing the melody, harming the harmonies every measure. We like an army symphonically bombing on the street, riding your composition. Slaughter the opposition, your daughters, they stop and listen. As mics bow with submission, call us a coalition. Cause we'll never divide, together we ride. And God, we abide and take stride. Displaying a massacre, going faster and faster until we capture what we after. Actor slash rapper, a musical tragedy, you can call it a disaster. Speaking truth to the congregation like a pastor. The stage is a canvas, I paint and demand this crowd to stand up in the rage. Outlandish. I am now a murderer of notes and tempos. The day the music died was the day I wrote my first flow.
Who is Drone.com?
This landing, I won't give up. No, no, this life gets demanding. And if you push me,
yeah.
Landing.
I'm the enemy, your people's energy. Equipped with every element, everybody be telling me I'm the remedy. Revolutionizing by socializing with broken lives and putting all the pieces back together with the melody. Cause everybody's got a reason for breathing, but some refuse to believe it cause what they see is deceiving. And then they try to knock me down, try to push me around, but I know the truth, so I'm standing my ground. And I will never be found in misery, though she tried to visit me and ignited the wicked dream from within me. Misleading the way, fulfilling lustful fantasies, causing my mind to go astray as she turned her back on me for her own benefit. And Drone was the end of it. I better quit trying on them shoes that never fit. Now I aim to get better. My spirit wrote me a letter in the header, said forget her, but yo, I never let her.
I won't give up, no, I won't let go. I'm standing, and if you push me, watch me stick this landing. I won't give up, no, no, this
life gets demanding. Drone.com.
Seconds of time, it's magic when we together, we three for one of a kind. Next in line, and we ain't even in our prime. Not evolved, but created by intelligent design. Existing beyond the observable universe. More power and energy than a gamma ray burst. The first to drop the curse, you flop the worst. We hot, we thirst, you not, so stop and rehearse. We out of this world again, back where it all began. Spending light years of space without oxygen. Electromagnetic, systematic, radiating through the planet. Telescopes try, but they never will see.
Hey, hey.
All right, welcome back to Los Angeles, Nisa. I'm your host, Edward Solis, in studio guest, the owners of Light of Path Studios.
Yes, yes.
George Fernandez and Jake Fernandez. How you guys holding up?
Pretty good, man. We're having
you enjoy
a blast.
The tamales at the break?
Oh, yeah.
Courtesy of La Mascota Bakery, our faithful sponsors for the show.
Good.
Very cool. Great. Nothing wrong with that. How about you guys?
Yummy.
Doing good. Very good.
Are they all gone?
No, not quite. Not quite.
Adam?
Delicious.
All right, all right. I want to give a big plug to our sound guy tonight, Nicholas Chacon, and Adam L. Murray for the professional photos that you will see at the end of the night, as always. But yeah, so, you know, part of the format of Los Angeles Nisa is we talk about a certain area, and since your fine establishment and studio is located in Whittier, we're going to talk about Whittier. This is a Whittier episode. Right. You know what? talking about historicals of a city, when I bring it up to someone, I always talk about the Whittier earthquake in 1987. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, okay, do all you guys remember where you were?
I was.
Let's start with George.
I was riding my motorcycle.
In Whittier?
In Whittier.
Whereabouts?
Right there on Painter, the following street. Right there on Painter and
Hadley?
And Whittier. Painter and Whittier.
So Whittier Boulevard. Right
at the corner.
Intersection.
Yeah.
By the quad.
That was a pretty strong one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was really strong. I mean,
I thought I had a flat.
So you were riding when it was happening?
Yeah.
Same thing with you in the car?
Yeah.
Wow.
I pulled over. I was over on 3rd and Atlantic Boulevard by where the Builders Emporium used to be.
In Montebello?
No, right over here in East Los Angeles.
East LA.
Sheriff Substation.
Okay. Okay.
And I pulled over. And then this woman come out of the car, and she says, I think I have a flat. And I said, I think we're having an earthquake. And all of a sudden, I look out and notice that the windows are being blown out of Builders Emporium.
So that perspective of, like, riding on the surface street and then trying to see what exactly is causing it, is that kind of, it's kind of mind-blowing,
right? It was weird because I thought I had a flat, and I kept looking at my tires, and the bike kept wiggling, you know, and moving side to side, and I thought the tires were okay, and I thought I was in a crack in a groove in the street, and no, I wasn't on a crack. And just as I stopped, right across the street from the quad, I stopped, and it's the earthquake stopped, and all I could see were the windows shaking like crazy,
like the actual rebound,
yeah,
of the movement,
yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
I guess the epicenter was just right in
Whittier Narrows.
It was
right?
in the River Bear. Over
so you were in East LA at the time.
Yeah, I was just heading out of Whittier. We moved into Whittier about 2 months before the earthquake hit, and so I was headed out going to work.
Yeah,
and it was, you know, the biggest shaker was that aftershock. That Sunday morning went about 5 o'clock in the morning.
5:42 a.m. Saturday night, Sunday morning. I remember I was in 7th grade.
Yeah,
I was 12 years old.
Yeah,
you know, you were really young.
I was probably barely born.
Yeah,
right. So I remember clearly.
Well, this was over by the high school over there.
Yeah, you guys were on Aeolian, and I was on Disney behind Shakey's.
Yeah,
in that neighborhood.
Yeah,
and I remember clearly, like, you know, being experiencing your first big earthquake, but not only experiencing it, but you were in the epicenter. So I remember being in my house. Like, when I walked out that morning, I was getting a ride from my dad, and he started the car up, and then he took the key out because I got to go inside and get something. So I sat in the car, and all of a sudden, like, I'm facing my house and that house, and all of a sudden, I feel like a little movement.
Yeah.
And I saw the birds go crazy, and then all of a sudden, like, it just started going off, and to this day I'll never forget it. I saw the houses going like this, like that, like left and right, like they were just going to collapse. And then you get out and you see the telephone poles just going up and down as violently. It's like, whoa, like you don't have control of anything.
No,
you have no control.
You don't.
You know, you really don't. And then just the sparks, and you hear the window, you hear the cracks of structure, and the heat from the power lines is so intense, and seeing the sparks and seeing the birds, like, and animals running like
just
for their lives and hearing windows break.
Yeah.
It's kind of chaotic. You know what I mean?
The sound. the sound is
kind of scary.
Scary, man. Yeah. You know, because
it's everywhere.
Yeah, you can hear it.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
So you actually saw the windows in Builders Emporium.
Yeah, it was, and then of course there was this huge Heath sign. It was like an L shape upside down,
right?
And it was going back and forth, and this lady was just panic stricken, and she was holding on to me, and I'm thinking, I'm telling her, I says, we need to get out from underneath the sign, because it was just shaking back and forth. I mean, violently.
Looked like it could go down any time.
Oh yeah, right. I mean, I certainly didn't want to be underneath that thing. You know. But you remember the heat. Remember how hot it was that.
Let me tell you something. I just had a discussion, and it was all about, is there such thing as earthquake weather?
Mm-hmm.
I believe so.
I feel there is.
Well, that was October 1st, and I remember clearly that the weather was completely abnormal. And I remember that morning, like, just like my intuition, like, I was sitting there, and like the earth stopped breathing. It was like eerie.
Yeah. The calm before the storm.
Yeah.
Or
like the heat
that.
Was
yeah.
just like you're in a furnace. Or something.
Yeah. And it was so warm and so quiet. And it was just like, this is weird. Yeah. And then there was like no circulation. And then just bam, you know. But what blew me away was, I'll never forget, I had my mom's AM radio. It was like on the dining room table. And we're listening to KFWB.
KFWB, yeah.
In 87. Yeah. And you hear them say that Caltech reported it was centered in Whittier. I was like, are you kidding me? And then just aftershock, yeah. And seeing the broken glasses and potteries, you know, all from the plants just broken.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Like, it's kind of like that reality check that you don't have control.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know what I mean? Whether your beliefs are whatever they are with religion and...
Bottom line, you don't have any control.
At the end of the day, no. You know? So anyways, I was blown away because where I live, you remember where I live?
Yeah.
There was no electricity for 2 days.
Yeah.
And we went to my grandma's in Commerce. And I remember we came back late Saturday night because the power went back on.
Just in time for the aftershock.
And I remember like, oh, yeah, you know, it's kind of like, you know, everything was still pretty messed up. And all of a sudden, it was like, you go to bed, and like, you know, your parents, you're 12 years old, and your parents are telling you the worst is over.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
it comes back.
5:42 a.m., there's whatever time it was, there was an aftershock as strong as the initial shock.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, wow. But what blew me away was seeing, like, the Whittier Quad. Remember that?
I was right there.
Yeah. I mean, that whole parking structure collapsed.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy. You know what's crazy is now, just to jump ahead a little bit. Actually, the night we had, the morning we had the Northridge earthquake,
mm-hmm.
Aaron was spending the night at my house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So yeah, that was.
And I remember that exactly where I was too. I was just getting off the 605 freeway, heading west to go to work at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Yeah.
And again, I saw a flash.
Yeah.
And then
But you didn't really feel it?
Oh, yeah. I saw the flash. Then I thought, I have
the transformers.
Yeah.
Transformers going off.
So, yeah, you know, it's funny how we have that flashbulb memory. We always know exactly
where you were.
Where you are.
Those significant times. Now, go back to Whittier. I mean, when you were saw the aftermath, I mean, was your mind blown?
I had just gotten to work, and... I realized it was an earthquake, and I headed back home.
Were you working in Whittier?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was working across the street from the Quad.
Oh, my God.
And
so you saw the structure and everything.
Yeah, I saw. And I got back on the bike, and I rode back home. And I was happy to be on a bike because there were accidents and stuff like that and traffic jams. And I just went in between cars and stuff like that, and I got home right away, you know. And checked everybody, see if everybody was okay and stuff. And, you know, it was like certain things had fallen from the shelves and stuff like that. But that was about the extent of it, you know.
Right.
Well, it affected down here. My wife was over here at the State Building on 1st and Broadway.
Okay.
And it just shut down the whole building.
Wow.
You know, so.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of puts things into perspective. Like, that was a 5.9. Imagine if there really was a 7.9 or 8.9. Like, that's, you know, I'm not a negative person, but things are shut down for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyhow, as far as other significant things of Whittier, I would have to say that at one point there was a venue there that was borderline Santa Fe Springs Whittier, but I think it was considered Whittier. It was called Chex. Did you guys ever go there? It was right off Carmenita and the Five. I played there back in the day, but it was like they did everything.
The happening.
Yeah, there was that. And as far as food goes, I mean, do you guys have any favorite places in Whittier?
Ruby's Frosty Freeze.
Ruby on Broadway.
Ruby's.
Really? No, that's great because when the people are going to listen to this, they got to like really know
where
the places go. I know they have a taco stand outside now.
Oh, yeah. They got a ton of good food. I go there for the burritos or the, what is it, the chicken club quesadilla. Like, they got a lot of good stuff.
Right.
And not to mention their ice cream and...
Oh, of course.
You know, all that stuff was good.
Well, you know what? There was a... I had a woman in here. Another significant kind of landmark-esque thing of Whittier is there's this bar called Ember's Lounge on Washington next to Winchell's.
Yeah.
Now, I had this woman on as a guest, and she's a contributing writer for the LA Weekly. Her name's Lena Locaro. She wrote a book called The Best Dive Bars in Los Angeles, and it's distributed worldwide and did well.
Yeah.
And her name's on it, and she actually highlighted Ember's Lounge.
The Ember's Lounge.
And Poor Denny's.
Oh.
As one, and as like the best two, you know, in that category, best dive bars in Los Angeles. But what she thought was interesting was how the pictures on the wall are like celebrities in hell. I don't know if you ever walked in there.
No.
But they have paintings, and it's like, it's kind of not direct paintings of celebrities, but they all resemble celebrities.
Yeah.
And you can kind of like figure out who's who, and they're like in hell.
Wow.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you guys ever been there.
No,
you
check that's out. Something to stop by to take a
take a little peek. Yeah. But for me, my great memories are skateboarding on Washington Boulevard. It's like coming out of Westman, and then we're just like looking where we're gonna go first, and you know, there, and you make a right, and we had this. There was this. You know where Pollo Loco is?
Yeah.
Okay, there was this, when I was new, when that business park was new, it was all smooth, and there was loading docks and steps and, like, sidewalks with, like, little banks, and the Pollo Loco drive-thru had, like, a double bank, so there'd be cars, and we'd wait for them to leave, and then we would, like, go full speed and ollie and clear these gaps. We named it Skate Paradise.
Nice.
Because it was like paradise for us. Yeah, it was before the skate parks came back.
Yeah.
And for us, like, Aaron and I were skating when skateboarding died, basically.
Right.
Like, it died and all the parks closed and street skating was invented.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out and we would really like skate Whittier or all the street areas, you know. And there was this place behind El Pollo Loco off of Washington. And it was right next door to the Shakey's, across the street from State Corral. And it was that was our sanctuary. That's where we went to like work on tricks and like be away from the craziness that was happening.
Yeah,
you know, any negativity anywhere.
Yeah.
So like we call this place Skate Paradise, and then we would go across street and you know the McDonald's curb. It was we waxed it, and it was just like all about skateboarding for us. And then you know we had like a routine. We'd come out and we'd go to this place because it had a gap or had this curb with, you know, that was waxed, or there would be a bank or a bank to wall, and we just go all the way from Sorensen to Norwalk, and we had like this whole like routine
right where the Shakey's
like an obstacle course.
Yeah, and it would keep us busy for like 2.5 hours, like, you know, maybe even three. And there's just every part component on Washington Boulevard had a purpose for us as far as skateboarding, and I think that's what kind of like shape someone, like how motivated you are to keep doing it, because there are no skate parks. Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah. But I mean, but then obviously now, fast forward present day, there's city skate parks.
Yeah.
And so forth.
Yeah, Whittier has one over by the parking lot in the city.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was really devastating to see when the earthquake happened, like how Uptown Whittier was the epicenter. Not the epicenter where the fault was, but I think it was a little north of that. But how the brick structures all collapsed.
Yeah.
And I remember everything was, you know, completely blocked off and condemned all that stuff.
Yep.
So you guys still live in Whittier, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. So you reside in Whittier and your business is in Whittier.
Yes. Yep.
What about you?
I'm in Whittier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was there two months before the earthquake hit.
So you've been there since then?
Yeah.
And you?
Temple City.
Close.
Yeah.
Close. This is an authentic Whittier, pretty much a Whittier round table, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, how do you think that city's changed as residents? Give me your feedback.
Well, one of the things, we mentioned earthquakes, and right now we're really having a big problem with the city and their design of fracking.
Okay.
They want to do some fracking up into the Whittier Hills. Of course, all of the wells are now empty.
So the well is dry.
The well is dry. Right. So
for reals.
Yeah, exactly. And what they're doing now is they're shoving chemicals down into the ground, and which causes pollution to the waters, and it also has caused man-made earthquakes.
Now, let's get into that. I've heard a lot about that, and there's a lot of truth and a lot of conspiracy talking about, the U.S. drilling into under the ocean, off the coast of Haiti, and triggering off, these enormous earthquakes. And same thing in Whittier. That is very well a reality.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, if you look through the eastern regions, around the outskirts of New York, I mean, there are people who basically turn on their faucets and put a match underneath it, and it lights up. It has methane that goes right through the system. And there are people who are coming down with these undiagnosed illnesses throughout the country. And,
really kind of unnatural things happening.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, the city is basically promised a huge amount of money, which, right. Of course, the people will never see. These are things that, the commoners of our city are going to just be under the impression that we're going to get a large amount of money, but it all goes into other agencies.
Right.
They're squeezing.
And on top of this, they're poisonous with carcinogens and everything else.
Now, let's talk about, going back to the oil drilling. Now, there's a motion to make that happen, right? They're dry, but they want to drill more.
They want to drill more. It's empty right now, and there are people that are fighting. There's an advocacy program called Save Whittier Hills, and they're really fighting to prevent this. There's a lot of politicking behind it. The city has basically manipulated specific ways of selling a property at a lower fee, and then the county is basically kind of up in the air about it because they're not aware of what's going on. So there's all different things that are happening right now just to secure this land. And I think a few years ago they were involved with this where somebody was killed because of the dangers of, the methane gases that were blowing up. So, there's up in arms of it. But then again, you also have a majority of people who happen to think that this is probably the right thing to do. But in the long run, we're actually poisoning the ground that we're expecting to drink water from. Whittier has, a very clean water table. And one of the things also is that the surrounding areas get water from that city.
Oh, so it facilitates a big region.
Oh, it does. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So, one of the things is that, if you poison that, there's another thing that we got to worry about.
Right. I think I did read something where that was one of the concerns was the man-made earthquakes when you're drilling so deep. I think that sounds kind of far-fetched, but it's kind of common sense at the same time. Like, if you hit the fault line, the earth is a living, breathing thing.
Yeah.
So someone drills something into you for surgery, you're going to jerk.
You're going to feel it. And you know, right? I think there's what's a thing interesting you're looking at is displacing everything.
Right.
I'm from San Antonio, Texas, and just north of San Antonio, there is an area where you can walk into the San Andreas fault line. And it's similar to a cave, but it's completely different. It's hot and humid.
you walk in and there are these two walls of earth being divided by these huge boulders on, you know, up on top. And it's eerie, man.
That's a place I don't think I'd want to be.
I know.
Right.
I know.
So that's like a gateway to the fault.
The opening is several.
Is that where it ends?
No, it runs from somewhere in the Gulf, I believe, and it runs all the way
through California,
through Texas, through Arizona, and
up to California,
Oregon, and then it turns north and it goes
into the ocean.
It goes up right outside of the where the ocean starts.
So where the new coastline begins.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, there's actually, an opening there in San Antonio where you could walk in this cave and you're in the San Andreas Fault.
Yeah.
So.
And you know how you go into a cave and it's cool and, you know, this is not. It's like you go in and it's humid and hot and sticky and.
A weird vibe happening.
Oh, kind of, man. Right? We went in, looked around. Let's go. And came back out.
How long ago was that?
That was before I moved out to Whittier, which was back in 81, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah, it's a trip.
Yeah. Now, is that still an available way to see the cave? I mean,
does
it still exist?
It's a little tourist
attraction.
Attraction.
Right.
Just north of San Antonio. In between San Antonio and Austin.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I had I went to UCLA for extension courses for journalism in the mid-90s. And one of my teachers, forgot his name, but he actually brought in a clipping of some of his work. And it was his coverage of the Whittier earthquake.
Robert Forrest?
No, Michael Savinsky, I think. Okay. It was LA Times piece. Mm-hmm. Interesting guy. I mean, he's really tall, long blonde hair, glasses. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, the way he described, like, trying to teach a class about reporting the news.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an art to it because you don't have to over-explain. And, you know, he used the Whittier earthquake as a learning ground to report the news. So we kind of worked on that, but that was an interesting lesson from him because he was like, you know, deciphering all this information and, you know, taught us how to do that. But I thought it was interesting that he used that significant, event as a training ground for us. But for me, I remember feeling earthquakes like a whole year. Do you remember that?
There was a time when I would speak of it, and I kind of had that feeling that I could hear that sound still in the background.
Right.
It was. It made his impression on me.
Right. Now, you know, it's funny. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say the effects that it had on, like, the uptown area, you know, there's still, you know, some spots where they demolished whatever building was there, and, the land is still there. But that's such a nice area, the uptown, you know,
it is.
Scene where, you know, people go and they walk around and there's boutiques and.
Yeah, there's a great independent, I mean, it's all about independent business, you know, you guys own a studio, you know?
Yeah.
And we're talking about that. I mean, there's a great movie theater up there.
Yeah.
Whittier Village Cinemas, you know, that's where, you know, I got great memories and that's where I've gone. And remember the Hadley Theater on Hadley?
Yes,
that came
down.
Right on Hadley. Yeah, I was just going to mention that. Hadley, Walgreens is there.
Yeah, but think about the architecture that was once there. I mean, that was an amazing building. Yeah. And it's totally gone due to the earthquake.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these
and
are old structures.
It's come back a lot. I know there's a art boutique right there on Philadelphia, just east of Greenleaf.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been holding events. In fact, we're hoping to
perform in one of their.
Is it Phoenix 5-4?
No.
No, it's a Spanish boutique.
Oh.
They sell
I've seen artwork some stuff
and
there,
stuff
yeah.
like that. And they held the Dia de los Muertos event.
I know what you're talking about.
And they have the car show and everything going on and stuff like that. And, you know, we're planning to do that event when it comes back around, you know, and perform there.
Phoenix 5-4 is
very cool. I mean, Uptown's back and thriving. It's amazing. You got Rocky Cola on the corner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you do have Spitfire Interiors.
Yeah, I love that place.
I love that place. You know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. And then there's, you know, the Wheater Village Cinema, which is, a mom and pop theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also Phoenix 5-4, which is a live music venue. I play there in September. It's awesome. Shows, it depends how you arrange it, but shows could be free. You know, mm-hmm. you can work a deal to get paid with a percentage. But it's a very health conscious place. They got like, you know, wheatgrass shots and these organic sandwiches. And even like, I mean, their beer... If you're a beer drinker, they got all the usual suspects, but it's also like these very boutique brewed stuff.
Yeah.
And they even have like hemp beer, you know, but it's like, it's crazy because there's so much of a selection there with organic foods and they're really trying to be conscious with providing like good quality product. It's the stuff is pricey because, you know, they want to cater to a demographic that cares, well, has the money and cares what they put in their body.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they have shows, they got art on the wall, they got a nice staff, and they got like an amazing selection of food and edibles and, you know, drinks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's right there in the heart. I mean, it's a good place. And it's nice to see a venue actually established in Uptown because for a long time, there's never been anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That caters to live music, whether it's, but all rock based, like whether it's rock, metal, punk, any subgenre. I think that's important. There's also a skate shop in Uptown called Legends.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's an actual regional chain, right? There's a few of those around.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I think there's a few of them around. But it's a big store.
Yeah.
It's a really big store. They have like, you know, a huge, it's like a huge rectangle. It's like, I think it's where the old Penny Lane used to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Possibly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you goes all the way back and they have a whole wall full of skateboard decks
mm-hmm.
on one side. And then the other side, it's all clothing and, you know, glass cases of wheels and trucks. It's just a lot going on. And, you know, it's just nice to see that all in one place. And then there's a record store, Lavelle's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really awesome.
He's been there forever.
Yeah, you know, Tom is a good dear friend. I've known him forever. And, you know, carries a nice selection of, like, you know, all the genres. You know, oldies and punk, mm-hmm. surf. There's the record store, and then, you know, there's the pizza
Music
place.
Music Rev, you can't forget them.
Yeah. How about the pizza place next to Lavelle's?
I've personally
Meat
never
Chase,
tried it.
I think it is, right?
It used to be called something else. You know what I'm talking about?
It's next to Lavelle's, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called now, but, I mean, that was a spot. You go buy a record, you get a slice of pizza, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, another institution in Whittier is Music Revolution.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, they got different stuff going on there as far as what they sell.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always been like, you know, you could go there and, you know, by all means, not promoting drug use, but you could buy a bong.
Well, that was kind of the how would you say the...
And the Cypress Hill record.
Free press shops during the days when I was growing up.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you got all the
head shops.
The head shops.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's what they're known for. But I mean, first and foremost, you know, they're a record store. I think they sell skate stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, so, that's really what this episode is about, is like letting people know what exists out there. But I think what I loved was before the Whittier earthquake, I'd go to Henshaw's.
Henshaw's.
Remember Henshaw's?
Oh, yeah.
That's where you go get your Cub Scout uniform.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I was a Cub Scout and a Weeblo. But no, I mean, that place was like one of those, like, it reminded me of like a kind of like a Sears meets Woolworth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, super cool. Like,
Henshaw's was a very old store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there was a sporting goods store at the quad.
Collin Brothers?
Think so.
Yeah.
You know, you play Little League, that's where you go get your stuff.
Yeah, Collin Brothers.
Yeah, all these great independent businesses. I don't know, as far as like, you know, talking about food and turning people on that are from out of town, or different cities are going to be rolling through. Yeah. I mean, if they're into drinking, I'd say go to Amber's, Poor Denny's. Those places are not as rigid. It's very like, you know, a lot of young people hanging, and it's, you know, that, you know, a place to socialize. But in Uptown, there's places like 6740, you know. But as far as live music goes, Phoenix 5-4, that's the spot. That's definitely where you play, you know. And I've seen all genres there.
Yeah, you know? Hip hop.
They even have like a brunch there on Sundays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where like there's bands playing like at 12 in the afternoon, and there's like a brunch. So it's very kind of, you know, just very unique the way they offer certain things at certain times. I think it's exciting, you know. Yeah. But
it's good for that area.
Oh yeah.
Well, I think one of the things is that
go ahead.
After the quake, they realized that, you know, they had changed some ideas of business there.
Yeah.
And so they brought in a lot of young thinking minds to do this. Before, you had antique shop upon antique shop upon antique shop, and after a while it got kind of tired.
Right.
Up and down.
I'll tell you what my favorite restaurant is, and I'm telling it's California Grill.
Oh, yeah.
That's my spot. The New Porter, man. The chicken sandwich with the avocado.
Cobb salad's always good.
Yeah, on the patio with passion fruit iced tea.
Yeah.
I just went there a few weeks ago, actually.
Did you? Yeah. No, I love that
my
spot.
My first time. It was real good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break. So we're going to hear another commercial and then go back to some more tunes.
Cool.
Take it away, Nick. This episode of Los Angeles Nista is brought to you by La Mascota Bakery, a family-owned business serving the community since 1952. Tamales and sweetbread, made the old-fashioned way daily.
Wondering what were the things
In studio guests, the owners of Light of Path Studio out of Whittier. Welcome to the Whittier episode. The owners, George and Jake Fernandez. How you guys doing?
Good.
All
loving
right.
It.
We just heard some tracks from Echoes.
Yes.
That's George Fernandez's group. You play bass?
Yes.
Can we name check the tracks that we just heard?
The first one was Searching for a Reason. And then we heard
Soñar Despierto, and Nunca el Dolor.
All right, let's tell everyone out there the backstory how Echoes came to be formed. Let's talk about how you guys met each other and how it all became a reality.
We've known each other for quite some time now, and I've played with Jorge in the past, and gotten together and we wrote some music and stuff.
How far back do you guys go?
1993. Since 93. And I guess I met Niles right around that time. And
that's the year I graduated.
Really?
So it's a good chunk. 20 years ago.
Yeah.
All right.
And we had attempted to get together once before, and I don't know.
That would have been June 31st. Because you called me the morning my mother died.
2002.
Yes. 2002.
You called me the morning my mother died. My mother was a real big Pink Floyd fan.
Oh,
nice.
So when my mother died, there was all of these references to the Dark Side of the Moon. You know?
Wow.
And so when I walked in the door that morning after my mother died, he was the first person that called up and said, "Hey, man, what do you say we start up kind of a Pink Floyd band?" And I never got the connection, but my wife kind of did. So
We needed a keyboard player, and we had been together and had written some music and stuff like that, and Jorge's playing his guitar was so much the feel of Pink Floyd.
David Gilmour-esque.
Yeah, and I had told Jorge about Niles, and we tried to get together, and it didn't happen. But then some years later, we got together, Jorge and I got together again, and we were trying to get something going. I had just put up the studio, and that's when I ran into Niles, and I asked him again, "Hey, you want to come out and get together with us, listen to the music, and see if you want to play with us?" And he came out and fell in love with the music and brought his own feel and his own music as well. And it all kind of combined and started meshing together. Then we were looking for a singer.
Okay.
And Jake had met this young man, Daniel Carrington, and he came out. He's a country singer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And he came out and he listened to the music, and we asked him, "Hey, are you, you know, would be interested?" You know, and he said, "Well, I've taken some Spanish in school, and if you guys help me, I'll do my best to."
This is a white guy singing in Spanish.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And so, the following week, he came back.
I know. He did his homework, came back, and got the lyrics down. And he plays guitar as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the recording process, and we're still, he's got some songs that we're going to be recording here pretty soon. And hopefully we'll have a CD, full-length CD to release here pretty soon. And but right now we have those five songs that we've recorded, and we've actually sent them out to the Yucatan area of Mexico.
Right, you guys are getting airplay out there right now.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, my tune, Searching for a Reason, it's been played. Jorge sent it out. You know, Jorge's been doing a lot of the footwork for the international.
Well done, man.
Yeah.
Interviews. Yeah. You know, put that music there already on radio stations and especially on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
So they're showing a video out there.
Now, as far as when you guys like come together to collaborate on music, I mean, do you guys bring an entire song, or is it all like bits and pieces and you put it together?
Well, my song was an entire song. I had written that 20 years ago as the aftermath of a suicide of my friend who I played in another band with.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was one of the things that all came to a head. And, this writing this song was something that kind of helped me process and move forward. in other words, complete my relationship with them. And so I wrote it and I played it with another group. And then the group broke up. And then I introduced this one. And Jorge felt that he wanted to put it up and record it. And so who am I to say no?
And we, and, we sort of put our own feel to it,
yeah.
You know. A lot of the stuff that we do, we bring in ideas, and somebody will have a major part of the song, major concept and stuff like that, and we get together and we start working together, and everybody puts in their own feel,
sure,
their own idea, and lo and behold, there's a song.
Let's do a round table of influences really quick. Tell me, like, for you, you play bass. Like, mm-hmm. who are some of the bass players or bands that speak to you that really, like, inspire you to go play music? Is there anyone?
Oh, Lord.
Let's hear it.
Jeez, it goes back, way back from, I don't have a one single bass player that I really idolize or anything like that. I
inspiration.
Listen, like, what you like to hear. Well, the, you know, Rush, Geddy Lee, and
right.
and way back with Humble Pie and groups of that era and stuff, and then just. Geez, it goes on and on.
Victor Wooten.
Victor Wooten is one of the ones that really stand out. I mean,
bass player.
What's that?
He's an incredible bass
player. Oh, yeah, he's amazing.
What about you, Jorge?
Well, I like blues, I like rock and roll, of course, and but musicians, you want a name, kind of hard. I like Santana, I like Jimmy Page, of course. I like David Gilmour. You know, that's probably my biggest influence.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And you've been playing guitar for how long?
Yeah, about 27 years. You add your own flavor. Right,
sure.
To your own style. You create your own style. The music has been there for years already. And the only thing that you do is compose it or discompose it.
Add your own feel to it. what you're feeling currently.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, my influence as well. I mean, you know, I grew up with the Motown music and, you know, through going up through 68, you know, I had an opportunity to go see Jimi Hendrix over at the Fillmore in San Francisco. And then, of course, there was a group that followed them with, it was called the Electric Flag.
And, ooh.
Electric Flag, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Those mm-hmm. were my kind of influences. And then a group that was competing with Chicago at the time, and they were called the Sons of Chaplin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Bill Chaplin.
Now, when you say competing, what do you mean, like kind of pop?
Well, they both came out at the same time. I believe Chicago was under Columbia, and so was the Sons of Chaplin.
And both were very similar as far as style?
In a sense, yeah. I mean, I had always kind of leaned towards the Sons of Chaplin, but... You know, they were kind of this motley-looking group. You know, they came out of the Big Sur area.
Okay.
Up north.
Okay.
And, you know, they didn't have that pretty image that Chicago had. You know, the Sons of Chaplin had a guy that was in a wheelchair and playing saxophone, and their hair was all raggedy, and they just played some of the best music around. And then later on, after Terry Kath was killed... and Bill Chaplin ends up joining Chicago, and he played with them for a number of years. But those are the type of groups that kind of influenced me. Brian Alger, Jimmy Smith, and just some of the groups, and of course Pink Floyd. I had always been, focused towards their type of music. I love if we were playing, and that's probably one of the things that we're kind of working on is the quad system. To try to perform with a quadraphonic sound system for a live performance.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we're...
You guys actually mapped that out?
Yeah, we've
done some work on that before.
Yeah.
And so, I guess Niles and I, the same era of music that we grew up with, you know, is a lot of those influences were what, you know, we adopted or kind of taken in.
Yeah, we kind of like the experimentation aspect of it. I think there's that
some
point.
Of the proggy stuff too, maybe.
Yeah,
aggressive.
Yeah, and you know, everything seems a little new to us. I mean, this is a group that I works very well with one another. It's there's a very strong team effort from every member, and there's no drama or anything like that.
That's good.
Yeah, it's
very good.
We get down to the meat and potatoes.
Drama, I'm sure.
Yeah, you've been
in a band.
That's probably that.
Oh yeah, there's always drama in a band. But
what do you think? There's only two guys in my band.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, they dwindle.
That's the hard part when you are making a band. Get the right musicians.
And, you know, it's nice
with the same influence.
Very well,
you know,
it's also nice to have people that are very nice and very, you could gel their personalities, and you have a lot of, you know, a lot of things in common, or even if there's no commonalities, everyone just respects each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Common courtesy.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And Jake, what about your influences?
And everything from the classic rock stuff that my dad kind of raised me on, and then, you know, Fleetwood Mac, things like that. Rush, he said, and that's definitely one of them. And then going into the, you know, the 90s era, you know, golden era hip-hop stuff and things my brother would be listening to. My sister, they kind of helped me get into, like, the more urban music and stuff like that. So growing up, I had a wide range of influences, the Offspring to, you know, Marilyn Manson to St. Clown Posse to, you know,
Cool Keith.
Cool Keith for sure.
that's our favorite. That's the rap I listen to. You know, he's
greatest
got,
MC ever.
You know, he's Cool Keith. He's MC Ultra.
Dr. Doom.
He's Dr. Octagon. He's the octagonicologist.
Yeah.
He's
Chewbacca
uncircumcised. That's his other name.
He's also half shark alligator.
Yeah, he's just a wild
half
dude.
Shark alligator.
And Black Elvis.
Yep.
But plug the websites for the band, if there's any, and your studio.
For Echoes, you can go into www.echoesrock.com. And we also have the Facebook, which is
Facebook.com/EchosLA.
ECOSLA.
ECOS.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That's in Spanish.
And then
the studio.
It's LightedPathStudios.com. We also have a Twitter, which is Twitter.com. It's going to be @YourLightedPath. And then everything else, Facebook and Instagram, is just Lighted Path Studios. And then you can find me @WhoIsDrone, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vine. I'm hip with all the new social media.
You are.
So,
I know you are.
But
I got to talk to you after the show. All right. Well, thanks. That's another
WhoIsDrone.com. Can't forget that.
That's another episode of Los Angeles Nista. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
We'll get the lights on and get some photos.